Yes, greetings to you all. In Jesus' name, this is Daniel King again with the Daily Inspiration. I'd like to bless you this morning and give you the hope of Jesus Christ, that He is alive and He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and His Spirit, His heart, and His desire is that His church would go forth and be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And in order for that to happen, He needs to have His Spirit dwell in the bodies of people here on the earth. I believe it is the Father's will that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. And it is such a blessing to walk in a place that we have the hope of eternal life. It is such a blessing to have that witness bearing witness with our spirit, that His Spirit bears witness to our spirit and assures us that we are the sons and the daughters of God. And I believe that there are many who long for that. There are many who long to have to know where they stand with God, and there are many who long to have that confidence that things are well with their soul, have that confidence that if they were to die, that things would be well, and that they are to be received into glory. Because so many of us struggle with the fact that we get one chance and we really don't find out until after we die, and then it's too late. You had the wrong concept, it's too bad, it's too late. And so it is a coveted thing that the whole world seeks after, is to know what lies on the other side of death's door for they themselves. And I believe that there is a way that we can have that assurance. I do believe that, as it says here in Romans chapter 8, it says that verse 16, that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so that means that if we have the Spirit of Christ living within us, it will be testifying and witnessing and assuring us that we are the children of God. And so that leaves us with the reality that there's another place in Scripture where it says that if we have not the Spirit of God, we are none of His. And right now I just thought of that verse. I did not sure if I know exactly where it is, but I do know that I think it's actually in Romans chapter 8. But nonetheless, I think the difference hinges between us having His Spirit or us having not His Spirit. And so there's no greater joy than to know that our sins are forgiven and that Jesus Christ is dwelling in us, as it says that we are God's husbandry, we are His building, and God is pleased to dwell within us. Knowing that thought, we also know that God will not dwell with sin. And so then there comes the age-old necessity to be first purified for us to repent of our sins before Jesus Christ can come in and dwell with us and to be our God, and that we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And so that brings us to the thought I was focusing yesterday in the message a lot on our bodies being the body of Christ, and how that the body of Jesus that He had while He was here on earth was a normal body made of flesh, exactly like ours is. There was nothing special. I do not believe there was anything special about his body. I do believe that he had the Holy Spirit is what Mary conceived there from the Holy Spirit. But I do not believe that the body itself was anything miraculous. I think the body was just, you know, flesh and bones, just like everything else. I think that if Jesus hurt himself, he hurt just like we do. I think if he cut himself, he would bleed just like we do. And so on. I believe he became tired at the end of the day. And I think that he needed sleep just like we do. And I believe that he grew just like we did. At a certain age, he stopped growing just like we do. And I believe that he ate and drank and tasted things and felt things and saw things with his eyes and his ears and heard things just exactly like we do. And so I do believe that it is important for us to believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, as I explained yesterday. But where I would like to go more today is the need for Jesus Christ to reign, to live, to dwell in our bodies, and that we can be his servants as he dwells in us. The Bible does say that we are bought with a price, therefore we are not our own. And that is a sobering thing. It's something that has sobered me much in the last recent weeks, and it has brought me to a place of a holy fear of God. And I thank the Lord for that, because there's something a bit uncanny, there's something a bit scary about walking the Christian life and yet not feeling anything burning within us for God and for his word. I know what that's like to walk, you know, with a bit of a question mark. Is God really real? His word is not necessarily exciting to us. It's not necessarily something that we look forward to reading, and maybe we're not always sure if God's even speaking to us. And that is a very unstable and unhappy or unsettling place to be, or when we're not quite sure if God is really, you know, working. And so that's why it's always refreshing to me to be at a place in our Christian life where God's word is alive, and that we're trembling as we think on him. You know, the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And, you know, if we do not fear God, if we do not tremble at his word, if we don't take his word seriously, if we don't take the fact that he is dwelling in us seriously, I think there's quite a bit of reason to believe that there's something wrong with our relationship with Christ. And so it says here that it says here in Romans, it is talking about Jesus Christ living within us. It says in verse 10, Romans chapter 8, verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, for by his spirit that dwelleth in you." And that's where I would like to go, where I would like to focus here, is that the spirit of Christ that dwells in us. needs to have control. The Bible talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. It says here in 1 John 3:24, it says that he that keepeth his commandments, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So you have the sense there of him abiding in us and dwelling in him, and he in him, meaning him in us, that keeps his commandments. And then it says again in 1 John 4, verse 13, it says, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And so, back to the thought there that I was pointing out yesterday of Jesus Christ living in our bodies and using our body the same as what he used his body while he was here on the earth. I had to think of the special privilege that those individuals had that were actually living on the earth while Jesus walked on the earth. He actually, in a physical and a real way, saw Jesus, touched him, felt him, talked to him, experienced him, possibly had a miracle done on them or a family member perhaps. And but then I couldn't help but feel a bit of, you know, there were some people who just missed it. They were born just a little too early or a little too late. There were people in other countries that, you know, did not get to see Jesus because they were too far away. Maybe in Africa, in India, and China, and some of the outlying countries, all of Europe, Northern Asia. Jesus just limited himself to the regions around Jerusalem and Judea there. You know, but Jesus was focusing on making disciples. He was focusing on making a few men. I had to think of a seed of corn, how that normally when a farmer raises crops, maybe not so much nowadays when people buy their seed, but years ago they raised their crops, there was always a certain amount of it that they used to feed and live off of, but then a certain amount of it was used for seed for next year, and that was very important. If everything would be used for seed, there would never be any actual value that would be gotten out of the corn. You know, if none would be eaten and consumed, there'd be no value. And so some of it has to be eaten, but if all is eaten and no seed is left, it would quickly die out. So I had to think of what Jesus did. He both fed, but he kept seed, meaning he both himself fed people, but he also made sure in that process that he makes a disciple, meaning he was duplicating himself. He made sure of that. He didn't just go about minding his own business, feeding as many as he could, and then died, and, you know, it would have been over. He made sure he made disciples that could take up and pick up where he left off. So that's an important rule that as we go about life, we are with Jesus Christ living in us. We can look back to the Gospels and study the life of Christ as a formula and a format of a Christ living within us today. If it doesn't match pretty closely, if our lives do not match pretty closely how Jesus lived back then, you know, there's reason to do some seeking and searching to make sure that it's not just an illusion that Christ is living within us, but that he really is. I do believe that that Jesus does not change, or his desires and his purposes for man does not change a whole lot. And so his Spirit living within us and us, and using us, our bodies, as his instruments to carry out his will match closely that to what he did when he was here. And it's been encouragement to me to realize that part of our responsibility is to actually make disciples of others while we're serving, and to get that proper balance so that not only are we serving, but we're also, we have the opportunity to, in our lifetime, to make 12 disciples just like Jesus did. And so now when, you know, we multiply ourselves by 12 times, and if each person would be faithful in doing that, I do not believe that this world would lack leaders. And so that's a challenge that the Lord has given me that I would like to pass on. So God bless you, and look forward to sharing some more.